This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots of time to share your questions with our audience. We'll take your questions at 888-302-3684. You can come right into the doctor's office and comment or pose any question you like. And we got lots to talk about this weekend. I hope you're doing something healthy on your behalf. You got a good start on it by listening to Intelligent Medicine, because give us an hour or two, and we'll give you the latest health information. 888-302-3684 to get in on the action. Please call us. And this item has to do with gouging, medical economics. And, you know, we all grew up with peanut butter. We ate cupcakes at bake sales and birthday parties, and we didn't think anything of it. But these days, eating something as innocuous as a cookie is a big deal, because there are just so many allergies. And we're not just talking about mild discomfort. We're talking about life-threatening anaphylactic reactions. And even schools have banned bake sales. They've banned sharing lunches. There's a lot of paranoia when kids get together at parties. So this item, and as I said, this has to do with medical economics, because, you know, we're trying to fix our medical system. It just keeps getting worse and worse. The EpiPen. The EpiPen is an emergency device that delivers epinephrine, a life-saving medication if you're suffering from a severe allergy attack. And it's idiot-proof. You just take the thing and you pull off the cap and you jab it into your arm or jab it into your leg. And for families of kids with allergies, they put an EpiPen in the glove compartment. They carry an EpiPen in a purse. They keep an EpiPen at school, certainly at home. And that may involve several EpiPens. And the problem, too, is that these EpiPens expire. This is something that I've experienced at the Hoffman Center, where we practice, because we do have to have basic emergency equipment in case a patient has an allergic reaction. In my medical career of over 30 years, I've had to administer epinephrine maybe a couple of times. It's a rarity. But still, you can literally save a life with an EpiPen. And what I've noticed that I ask the nurses to audit our medical supplies, and sometimes they'll say, oh, only a month to go on this EpiPen. It's probably still perfectly good, like those eggs at the supermarket that may, their expiration date may be tomorrow, but that doesn't mean that suddenly they're extremely dangerous or toxic. It's just that, you know, they put an expiration date on there to safeguard you against old products or products that may be less effective. Well, the price of an EpiPen has gone up astronomically. We noticed this when we reordered recently. The auto-injector's price has risen by more than 480% since 2009. And that is really a crime, because the actual cost of the drug inside the EpiPen, I assure you, is only probably about a couple bucks, if that. And what you're paying for is the delivery system, but the apparatus may cost, if If it costs $20, I'd be surprised. But the company that makes EpiPens have created a sinecure for themselves. The manufacturer Mylan has a virtual monopoly because its main competitor recently launched a recall. Well, these devices have to work. There's a lot of liability associated with that. Build that into the price. All kinds of government oversight because, I mean, frankly, this is something people's lives depend on. And so what you're paying is a big premium to safeguard you from device failure. So these pens are sold by the pair. And recently, we discovered that when you went to get a pair, the cost is $600. One of the people interviewed for this article here in CBS News says, within the last 2 months, we've had three patients, as a pharmacist, we've had three patients who had issues with the price of an EpiPen, and we actually, they didn't receive it. They just refused to take it when they got sticker shock, and they turned around and said, I'm not going to get an EpiPen. Well, that may result in an episode of life-threatening anaphylaxis because people simply can't pay the price for the device. And you might say, well, okay, but people have medical insurance. Drugs are covered, right? Well, a lot of people these days opt for what's called high deductible insurance. So they may kick in the first several hundred or several thousand dollars of expenses before their insurance kicks in. And the price of these things is just gone through the roof. The company has spent tens of millions of dollars on TV ads, and therefore it's become a household name, EpiPen. It's not called an epinephrine self-injected device. It's branded as an EpiPen. And it's a totally established brand name with little competition that gives them freedom to raise the price every year, year in, year out, with the result that it's literally becoming inaccessible to many people who need it. 888-302-3684. And this item, an unhealthy diet during pregnancy could be linked to attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Well, that's interesting because just a few weeks ago we heard that Tylenol use by women in pregnancy could increase their kids' likelihood of suffering from ADHD. Well, now we have proof positive that diet matters during pregnancy when it comes to kids' behavior. A high-fat, high-sugar diet during pregnancy may be linked to symptoms of ADHD in children who show conduct problems early in life, new research indicates. The research performed at King's College in London and at the University of Bristol. By the way, University of Bristol in England, big center for study of the relationship between diet and attention deficit disorder. In 2012, they came out with a landmark study that showed that for some kids, not all, you can't say every kid with ADHD is going to get better with diet, but they found that for a high percentage of kids with ADHD, diet change, a fine gold diet, a diet that's avoids preservatives and chemicals and dyes, had a major impact on kids' behaviors. So anyway, the researchers at London and University of Bristol had found that a high-fat, high-sugar diet during pregnancy may be linked to symptoms of ADHD. Published in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, this study is the first to indicate that changes at birth may explain the link between unhealthy diet, conduct problems, and ADHD. So the researchers assessed how the mother's nutrition affected changes of something called IGF-2. IGF-2 is a gene involved in fetal development and brain development, and is implicated in ADHD. It has something to do with the growth of critical parts of the brain, the cerebellum and the hippocampus. And the researchers discovered that there was a change in the way that DNA was expressed. So you could say, okay, well, it's all genetic. It's all about your genes. Your genes are your fate. Well, no, you can modify your genes through a healthy diet. You can mess things up, or you can overcome genetic drawbacks through a healthy diet. And very, very critical that moms during pregnancy follow a healthy diet. And yet, mothers under virtually all circumstances, they've given birth. Women have given birth to kids in concentration camps, horrible circumstances. But it affects the kid's later health and behavior. And so it's a very, very critical time to practice good nutrition. 888-302-3684 is our number. We wait your phone calls on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
You know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic aged garlic extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic aged garlic extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And this item, by the way, our number, 888-302-3684. Call us anytime you like this hour or next. And this item, diet and exercise can reduce protein buildups linked to Alzheimer's, according to a new study. Now, a lot of people follow my exercise exploits. I recently did a triathlon, and I'll share my triathlon story with you. When we post it next week. But you might ask, why do people exercise? I mean, it's so unpleasant. It's hot. You get sweaty. You get, aches and pains. I mean, is it really worth it? Well, one of the reasons that I exercise is because it really helps the brain. And this new study underscores why diet and exercise can reduce protein buildups linked to Alzheimer's, according to a new study. A study by researchers at UCLA's Cernell Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior has found that a healthy diet, regular physical activity, and a normal body mass index, that's avoidance of overweight, can reduce the incidence of protein buildups that are associated with the onset of Alzheimer's. The study looked at 44 adults ranging in age from 40 to 85. Their average age was close to mine. It was around 63. And these people already had mild memory changes, but no actual dementia. And they underwent a very sensitive type of brain scan. It's an experimental new type of imaging, a form of a PET scan, to measure the level of plaque and tangles in the brain. Now, this is new technology because, so far, there's no commercially available test. You can't just go to the doctor and say, well, tell me if I have Alzheimer's disease, do a brain imaging study. This is advanced research. But eventually, these studies will help with earlier prediction of changes in the brain that point to high risk for Alzheimer's. The researchers did this special study, and then they collected information on the participants' body mass index, their levels of physical activity, diet, and other lifestyle factors. And they found that each of several lifestyle factors, a healthy body mass index, physical activity, and a Mediterranean diet, something like our recommended salad and salmon diet, all were linked to lower levels of plaques and tangles on the brain scans. So, yeah. This indicates that lifestyle can have a big impact on whether you're likely to develop a cognitive problem. Alzheimer's affects an estimated 5.2 million people in the United States, and it results in more than $200 billion in healthcare expenditures annually. And we don't have surefire drugs, but yes, we do have lifestyle measures at our disposal. And hopefully these are some things that you're engaged in, because, hey, these folks were only 63, the very same age that I'm at, and they were already showing early signs of dementia. And that is not a good thing. All right. This is a very important study, because you can't outrun a bad diet, according to a new study. And it's time, according to the author of this study, his name is Dr. Asim Mehrotra, it's time to bust the myth of physical activity and obesity. And what they're saying here, and this is actually kind of a cop-out, a lot of the companies that make bad stuff are saying, look, you know, have a little bit of our stuff, you know, drink Pepsi or Coke in moderation, but just have a healthy, active lifestyle, and you burn off the calories and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. The idea is that our obesity epidemic, he says, is caused by sedentary lifestyles. And as a result, we've got more and more people trying to atone for their dietary excess. But he says, quote, those pitches are based on a myth. Now, physical activity has a multitude of health benefits. It reduces the risk of heart disease. And as I said, it helps to fend off cognitive decline. It makes you less likely to have type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, maybe even reduce the risk of certain types of cancer. But weight loss is not one of the dividends of exercise in the face of a poor diet. And when we return, we're going to talk about the Olympics and a revolution in the way that Olympians are eating, because they're eating better and better with more and more records being chalked up. We'll talk about that when we return to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Kaufman. 888-302-3684 for phone calls. And as I said earlier, in the Olympics, we're seeing a real turnaround in the style of eating that some of these athletes have undergone. And what they're doing is they're getting away from the training table mentality, where you got people who are, Michael Phelps, who just bragged about the burgers and the shakes and the enormous amount of junk that he had to consume so that he could do daily 12,000-yard workouts. Imagine that, 12,000 yards in practice trying to get ready for the incredible Olympic performances, the gold medals, and so on. And swimmers really eat up the calories. And so that may be warranted for some of these real long-distance athletes. But I got to say that in my own training this year, for a recent triathlon that I did, last Sunday right after I did the show last week. And I embarked on a lower carb diet. I consumed fat and protein and less carbohydrates. My weight went down, and I felt lighter and better. Instead of the traditional pasta meal that I would have the night before, I'd have like 3 servings of pasta the night before, and then, you know, feel a little weighed down and bloated as I went out on the running course. So many of the athletes are consuming real health food. And they're getting away from the junk, the calories, and the sugar. And there's a real reset on the whole strategy of using diet prior to athletic events. It's a real revolution in sports nutrition. 888-302-3684 is our number. And if you want a rationale for swimming, you know, swimming is a great exercise because when I broke my hip, I literally couldn't run for, well, it was over a year before I really got back into running. And so that would have been ordinarily a real opportunity to become deconditioned. But as soon as I was able to get to the pool, and I barely got to the pool, I had to get to the pool with help. I, you know, went there with a cane, lowered myself in the pool, and then lo and behold, my body was suspended as if in a low gravity situation, and I was able to swim. Swim's mostly an upper body activity anyway. Use your legs a little bit for kick, but swimming enables people who have, say, knee problems, hip problems, back problems, to work out effortlessly. So if you need yet another rationale for swimming, here's one. Swimming can be an effective part of the treatment for fibromyalgia, a study suggests. Now, fibromyalgia, for those of you not familiar with it, it's a devastating condition of body aching, but it's also associated with fatigue. It's associated, in some cases, with insomnia, and exercise is a good antidote for the type of kind of restless insomnia that people get with fibromyalgia. But also any kind of, you know, when you move your muscles, and yeah, okay, you get sore initially, but eventually your muscles develop more resilience, and the soreness dissipates. So researchers performed, so by the way, this done in Sao Paulo, in the host country for the Olympics. A study performed by researchers at the Federal University of Sao Paulo shows swimming is effective to relieve pain and improve quality of life for patients with fibromyalgia. The researchers looked at 75 sedentary women aged 18 to 60 who had fibromyalgia, typical population, because this is a female predominant issue. But I got to say that, you know, even if you don't have full-blown fibromyalgia, you know, everybody, middle-aged people have aches and pains, and maybe you fall short of a formal diagnosis of fibromyalgia. But it's virtually a universal condition of people past a certain age, bodily aches and pains. So these women had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia. 39 practiced freestyle swimming, and 36 undertook moderate open-air walking. And what they found is that the swimming was as effective or more effective than walking exercise to address fibromyalgia. They say here that fibromyalgia is about 10 times more common in women and than men, can be disabling, and many patients have no abnormal blood tests. They have no diagnosable arthritis. They just have aches and pains and a deterioration of the quality of their lives and functionality, and it affects approximately 5% of women, so it's a huge public health problem. Suggestion: get in the pool. If you can't swim, do some water aerobics, because that can be very beneficial when it comes to addressing bodily aches and pains. All right. This item talks about the yet another, this is great, yet another guy who claims to be the oldest man in the world. And he actually had to be coaxed out of anonymity. He didn't want, you know, he's a modest guy. He's now applying to the Guinness World Records to verify his claim. His name is Swami Shivananda. He's a Hindu holy man. And the claim is that he was born on August 8th, 1896. This according to his passport. It's kind of hard to verify these things. But they actually managed to track down his birth records from a temple register. That's pretty common in India because that's where, you know, before they had formal ways of establishing a census, you take your kid to the local Hindu temple and check in and verify the birth. This guy looks remarkable for 120 years. There's a picture of him. He looks great. And he's doing a modified headstand. Can you imagine that? He does yoga daily. And what does he attribute his longevity to? Unlike some people who, you know, they live to incredible ages and they smoke and they drink and they eat, you know, hot dogs. This guy is very disciplined. He is a monk. He says he owes his age to, quote, yoga, discipline, and celibacy. He says, quote, I lead a simple and disciplined life. I eat very simply, only boiled food without oil or spices, rice and boiled lentil stew with a couple of green chilies. And I avoid taking milk or fruits because I think these are fancy foods. He didn't have an easy life. He lost both parents before he was six. And he was given away by his relatives to a spiritual guru with whom he traveled and lived and became a holy man. He says, and this is a great quote, you know, he was born in colonial era India before there was electricity, cars, or telephones. He says he's not enthused by new technology and he prefers being on his own, practicing his yoga and meditating. And this quote is just great. Earlier, people were happy with fewer things. Nowadays, people are unhappy, unhealthy, and have become dishonest, which pains me a lot. Okay. So, congratulations to Hindu monk Swami Shivananda, born August 8th, 1896. He was now 120 years of age. 888-302-3684 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, president of the Texas Organic Research Center. As you probably know, it's a toxic world out there, but we can do something about it. Become knowledgeable consumers and use products that are safe and healthy, such as natural supplements that help protect the body's cells from toxic exposure. One of my favorites is Reg Active with ME3, the only probiotic proven to actually produce glutathione in the body. It's the body's master antioxidant, unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals and exposure to environmental toxins. Glutathione decreases as we age. Reg Active is great for rebuilding it, and I strongly recommend it.
Look for Reg Active at Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold. Revolutionary. Remarkable. Reg Active.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number, and let's hear from Adam in Connecticut. How you doing?
Hi. My friend had a heart attack back in November, and I wondered which vitamin she should take.
Okay. Well, let's before we start with vitamins, let's talk about diet and exercise. She should be in cardiac rehab. She should be doing some kind of exercise program, and they'll probably put her through that under supervision. She should be on a Mediterranean or salad and salmon or low-carb diet, correct some of the problems that led to the heart attack. You know, high cholesterol, blood pressure problems, pre-diabetes, those are usually, we usually find risk factors specifically. So when it comes to supplements that I would take after a heart attack, let's talk about coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol. Virtually everyone who's had a heart attack is placed on a statin drug. That's almost de rigueur these days. So you need coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol. I prefer ubiquinol because I think it's more bioavailable, at about 300 to 400 milligrams per day. That would be right. Magnesium, very important. And I would use something like jigsaw magnesium because it's better absorbed, better tolerated. Very important. Also, absolutely mandatory, once you've had a heart attack, fish oil becomes extremely important. And I would take 4 capsules a day of a highly purified fish oil. It's standardized to DHA and EPA. The couple of products that I use the Nordic Naturals products. I use Orthomega, which is a product that's available from physicians. I would use chiolic aged garlic extract. That could be real important because that's been shown to reduce cardiovascular disease. It's part of the French paradox, where the French eat a lot of pâté and they smoke Galois, and yet they have the lowest rate of heart attacks in Europe. That's why they call it the French paradox. Also, consider things like curcumin, EGCG. They've had, some studies that suggest that those also reduce the risk of heart problems. And, the many supplements that can be used to as natural anti-inflammatories. I mentioned chiolic aged garlic extract reverses atherosclerosis in some studies. I would take 2 of the cardiovascular formula twice daily. That's the amount that was used in a recent study that shows that calcium plaque was reversed through the use of chiolic. So those are some things that you could start with. And, it's the kind of thing that, when I see a patient, this is a little perfunctory because, I'm just saying, well, these are the pills to take, in general, diets in general. But generally, when I see somebody who's had a heart attack, we go really deep. We do tests to see, what's the problem? Why did the person get the heart attack? Was it cholesterol? Was it homocysteine, for example? That's often not checked. Is it a matter of inflammation? Is highly sensitive C-reactive protein elevated? Is there a pre-diabetes that got missed? Because doctors will say, hemoglobin A1C is 5.9. You're not diabetic. Well, no, that's actually not optimal. What's your waist-to-hip ratio? Are you carrying extra fat around the midsection that could be, causative of the problem? So, we do comprehensive kind of workup to find out what's the underlying cause. And there's kind of a cookbook, type of supplements to take, but it's more than that when we individualize care, because there are many pathways to getting a heart attack. Is it stress? I mean, could it be a stress-related problem? Emotional stress or, that kind of thing.
I love your show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening and pass along the advice to your friend. I hope your friend recovers fully. And, a heart attack is a really teachable moment, gets your tension, you survive a heart attack, you change your life, you can live to, 95 if you kind of get religion about doing the right thing. 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Shell Lee, also in Connecticut. How you doing? We're getting a lot of calls from Connecticut.
I'm a previous patient of yours, and you cured so many conditions of mine. But I'm calling on you again. I have severe tendinosis, and I normally take a lot of natural anti-inflammatories anyway, like curcumin and fish oil and boswellia, and nothing seems to make it better. I was wondering if you had any suggestions. I don't know if Wobenzyme might help or.
Yeah, Wobenzyme is good. And, you know, for tendinitis and tendinosis, curcumin really rules the roost. There's some really good studies about curcumin for precisely that condition. So but you're already taking it. How much are you taking?
I'm taking about 1,000 a day.
That means two?
1,000. Pardon?
That means two pills?
Yes. No, one pill. Two pills.
No.
My total is 1,000, but should I up that?
Yeah, you should probably take anywhere from 4 to 6. You can safely take 4 to 6, and that might help more. But, you know, I think we can list the supplements that will be helpful for you, things like fish oil, even magnesium helps to reduce muscle spasms, some of the tightness that occurs. Boswellan also has anti-inflammatory effects. Wobenzyme is also really good for injuries and, you know, acute inflammation. But you take Wobenzyme away from foods. You take three times daily. But I have to say that diet reigns supreme when it comes to dealing with bodily aches and pains. And, you know, I will recount for listeners in next week's newsletter. By the way, subscribe to our newsletter because there's some great stuff. I'm one of the lead writer for our newsletter, but we have some great contributors, including our Hoffman Center nutritionist, Layla Mutin. It's very worthwhile. You get it in your email box and, you know, you read it if you like. You know, it's there for you for free. It's a great resource. Just sign up. Next week I'll be talking about my triathlon comeback because literally for 4 years I haven't done a triathlon. I've been exercising, but I kind of hit a speed bump at the age of 60. After, you know, really doing well in triathlons for several years before. In fact, winning my age group in a triathlon at the age of 59, I kind of hit the skids. I started having issues, pain in my foot, plantar fasciitis, some hip stuff, some back stuff. And I talk in this article about my comeback trail from that, and it involved a variety of things. I tried different forms of body work. I tried the MELT method. I worked with a chiropractor. I did a lot of conditioning with my personal trainer to strengthen my core and to stretch out. I did daily stretching. You know, I talk all about that in the article that will appear in our newsletter next week. But ultimately, I think what made the biggest difference was a diet change. Now, I was on an excellent diet. I mean, I was on a diet that's probably better than 99% of folks. I'm a professional medical nutritionist. But when I switched to a paleo diet, and I did this in December, I was going to do it for 30 days as part of a Whole 30 challenge, I noticed some real important changes with my body. The aches and pains began to dissipate. And they didn't dissipate completely after 30 days, but I said, I'm liking this. And after 30 days, I re-upped. That started on Christmas Eve of 2015. Now we're into August of 2016. We're talking almost 8 months. And the changes in my body have been really remarkable in terms of freedom from downtime and aches and pains because there's a real anti-inflammatory effect of getting off grains with a paleo diet. I also completely stopped sugar. I wasn't having a lot of sugar, but I was having, you know, dark chocolate and a little bit of sugar here and there. Completely stopped that. And for some people, getting off nightshades makes a difference. I didn't have to do that. I still consume tomatoes and nightshade plants, you know, peppers and so on. But dairy can be a problem for some people. Just simply being a little overweight can be an issue. I dropped 12 pounds on this diet. I wasn't overweight, but apparently I was carrying extra body fat because I have the same muscle mass. I'm just thinner, and that makes a difference in terms of inflammation in the body. Makes a big difference. So check out that article upcoming in our newsletter. Consider that for your tendinitis. Do the stretching, do the yoga, do the MELT method, whatever method you can. Stretch your tendons because as you age, your tendons tighten and stiffen, and you gotta work them out. That can make a real difference for you. Thanks for your call, Shelley. I hope you continue to do well. And hey, maybe sometime come back and visit us at the Hoffman Center for some fine tuning. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is the number. We got lots more coming up in the next hour. Well, stay with us. This is Intelligent Medicine.